All right, so if you guys have your Bibles, we're going to continue on our mini-series here, going through the book of Luke. Go to Luke chapter 10. Many of you might be there already. Luke chapter 10, and starting from verse 38, it says, "Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things.'" Verse 42. "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Father in heaven, oh, we thank you for your holy word. We ask for your anointing upon us here. We ask for you to open up our understanding of your word and help us, Lord. Help us to see your word of truth, to be convicted in our hearts of what you're speaking to us, and that we would apply these things. Being like that picture of Mary, being that worshiper, remaining at your feet. Please empower us to do so, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. Okay, we're going to take a little journey on memory lane, as some might say. You might be old enough to remember the lyrics to this song. "Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite." See, you guys remember that. When the dog bites. That's from a song called "My Favorite Things." What movie was that from? The Sound of Music. Still one of those good movies you could watch with your kids, with your family. Like, let me fast forward. You don't have to do that with that. So we all have favorite things. Each of us have favorite things. But all too often, we allow these things to take over, to take precedent in our life, so that when God's asking us to be a worshiper, these things all crowd in and they push out everything else in our lives, don't they? They can take over our time rather than worship. So we got to be careful of the things, whether they are your favorite things like we just read, or whatever those things are. We all have things. And the Holy Spirit's probably grilling your heart as we go through this, as he has been with me. So to recap real quick, in our mini-series here, continuing on, going through Luke 10, verse 38 to 42, going really slow. Why? Because you're probably like me, that this is the one thing, once you're a new Christian, a born-again Christian, this is the one thing you and I need to, let's say, get better at, to practice daily, more and more. So if you could be more productive and being proficient, you're not going to be a pro, only Jesus is, but if you could be more productive, more proficient at something, this is a place to look at. So we're going slowly through here. So to recap, so far, we learned some of these lessons that sitting at the feet of Jesus is what we need to do. That's best seen by Mary. She's a picture of worship, you'll see in verse 39. Also in verse 39, we learn about continual hearing from the Lord. And we dig into the original Greek language. It didn't just say that she heard from the Lord. She kept hearing. It doesn't carry over in your Bible translations. This is why we want to go slowly through this. And I want to dig out those nuggets that are there. Also, we looked at last time, continual distraction from worship. That's a picture of worry as seen with Martha. And this is me. This is you. Who here can admit that's them? Okay, all the people that are truthful are raising their hands. All of us are that. Okay, so we got to guard against that. So today, Lord willing, we're going to learn some lessons from Martha's mistakes here. I'm going to try to keep this brief here, but today we're going to focus on the why a person gets distracted. Why a person gets distracted? We're going to see that Jesus Christ himself will point out within the passage. He's going to diagnose Martha's problem here, and this might be your problem. I know this has been my problem as well. We're going to learn from Jesus that she's got nobody to blame but herself. Adam tried blaming God. He tried blaming his wife. Eve blamed the devil. God's like, would somebody just own your sin and acknowledge it and confess it? We've got nobody to blame but ourselves. We only have ourselves to blame if you and I get too busy to worship the Lord. And I don't know about you, I could just say, and I'm just going to briefly tell you now, I've been greatly convicted in my heart as we've been going through this. We're pausing going through our normal trajectory, going through the entire Bible, every book, every chapter, every verse. You've been with us. Some of you guys have been with us for a long time. It's rare that we would pause on that journey. We're going to get back on that Bible bus tour, so to speak, going through 1 Corinthians. But we want to pause for this time to consider worship. This is where he's been greatly convicting my heart, and I believe he's wanting to speak to us here. So I'm going to just show you this here now on the display. If you miss everything else but you get this, then please get this. Here's your takeaway. Here's your application. Start making time for the Lord and stop making excuses. Each of us has to, even me, even this morning, I'm like, I got to study, I got to prepare, I got to do this, got to do that and the other. I wake up the kids, I was like boiling eggs, all this kind of stuff. Like, grab your guitar, worship me. Yes, Lord. I have to. Stop making excuses. Start making time. So now look at this in the text. We're going to focus on verse 41 today. Jesus answered and said to her, if you got a red letter Bible, you see the words of Jesus. Jesus is going to give you the diagnosis here. Not me, not anybody else. Jesus. We're going to dig in the original Greek language to get like the, there's nuances here within the text that are beautiful. The context of this is Jesus is acting in response to protect a person sitting at his feet. And who is that in the story? Mary. And she's wanting to keep hearing his words. So she's being protected. Jesus will always protect a Mary and rebuke a Martha, won't he? Know that. Know that for your life, because you're making decisions. God, if I worship you, if I take time out to spend time with you, is it worth it? I got to do this, that, and the other. I'll protect you. Some might say it this way. When you're studying the Bible, when you're spending time with the Lord, he seems to multiply your time. I don't know how he does that. I got no time because I'm so busy. Oh, that means I got to carve out time to spend time with them. And he seems to take care of a lot of other things. I don't know how he does that. That's not your job. That's his. Amen? He will do that. Your job is to trust, to have faith. So I would safely suppose that Jesus will usually like to rebuke someone that tries to mock or ridicule or even prevent a person like Mary or you from worshiping and sitting at his feet. We have to embrace this, that I need to allow Jesus to protect me. You need to allow him to. He'll rebuke the Martha, and he'll protect someone trying to worship him at his feet. So let's look at this. A couple words I want to focus on this morning. And again, I just did a screen capture of my Bible study software because I want you to see the little nuances here. So this is a dictionary up here in the top right. I circled in the red. It says, Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried. So he's giving her the diagnosis. Dr. Jesus, you know, the Lord. This is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. He could heal Martha. Can he heal you? Will you allow him to heal your Martha kind of heart? I need to allow that. Worried. So this is a word that basically means to be anxious. We just looked at this on the past Wednesday. You guys can go into YouTube or Facebook and see that past study, the word and worship from this past Wednesday, a couple of days ago. We looked at Philippians 4 about anxiety. Anxiety in the heart of man causes what? Depression. The psychology world, society's just catching up to that. God said that thousands of years ago. It's what Proverbs 12, verse 25 in the Old Testament. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. So to be worried, to be anxious, it's going to cause depression. It's going to drive me away from the feet of Christ if I allow it. So Martha has nobody to blame but who? Herself, Martha. She's trying to blame Jesus. Or don't you care? She calls him Lord, like the nerve, right? She calls him Lord. You don't tell your Lord what to do. Mary, she's like mocking Mary, like it's Mary's fault. You got all these people here, Jesus. And by the way, Lazarus, why are you just sitting there too? You can get up. This is your house too. So sometimes we could be like Martha, and we got to be careful. So don't be too anxious. Don't be so worried. Her anxieties cause her to be worried, thus preventing her from worshiping the Lord. Maybe, and please understand this, Christian, if you're a born-again Christian following Christ and his commands, many times when you get the attacks, even the Marthas around you, it might be even a sister or a sister in Christ, many times it's someone that might just be jealous. How many of you know that? A lot of us don't know that. We're just like, oh, take it personal. Don't be so sensitive. Sometimes someone could be just jealous. I don't really want to spend time with Jesus, but I can't. So if I can't, you can't either. And we might get people around us. You know, truth be told, that's a lot of people. Right? Sometimes people get jealous, and they're going to start attacking. They might even start trying to rebuke Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He'll rebuke that Martha. Allow him to protect you. So she was prevented from worshiping the Lord, not because of Jesus, but because of who? Everybody point to who is to blame. Sometimes we want to just blame the devil. No, you. That's what we can see here as Jesus diagnoses this for her. So watch out. I put here in the green. Watch out that even those you're trying to care or provide for. Oh, I can't do this. I remember even we had kids. You moms? How many moms are here? You know, like that 2 a.m. cry, right? And then you go to sleep. Oh, and then 3 a.m. cry. And if you got a bunch of little ones, you got like more than one in diapers. Sometimes you feel like you don't get sleep, right? I don't know how you moms do it. A lot of us guys can't, right? You can go like a couple nights, it seems like, without sleep. Your eyes like bloodshot. You're like. So sometimes gals will reach out to other guys. Did you shower? It's like, when did you shower? 3 days ago? It's not that they don't want to. Sometimes you're just taking care of someone else. But watch out. Look at this, even again, what we circled here on the display. This anxiety, it could be you're trying to care for. You're looking out for something. Notice it says here, to seek to promote one's interest. So Martha put more care into, let's say, this was not like serving publicly in church. She's serving what? Probably food. We learn from the start of the paragraph, she's inviting him into her house. She's what we might call the woman of the house, the lady of the house, probably the oldest sister, running the kitchen. I'm like, Mary, why is she just sitting there? She's not doing it. She should get up. Come on, there's a lot of food now. I need some help. You know, I gotta cook. We don't have microwaves now today, Mary. You understand? It takes a long time. And so we gotta be careful that we're not caring for others so much that we become cranky, that we get pulled from the feet of Jesus. Maybe she was just jealous. Okay, so be careful. We always get that excuse, right? I don't have time. I don't have money. Those are always the excuses. I can't serve God. There's maybe some people thought coming in today, I want to make money. I don't want to worship God. And so they won't do it. You wake up tomorrow. You're going to have this decision tomorrow when you wake up. Well, I got you. I spend time at night and then I sleep during the day. Whenever you wake, you're going to have that decision, aren't you? Am I going to worship the Lord, or am I going to be like a Martha and worry? Worship or worry? Warrior or worrier? Which are you going to be? No, come on, that's not fair. God knows, I got this, I got all these bills, I got these things to do. Well, according to this passage, he's going to diagnose Martha, and I see this, and this applies to me, and I believe it applies to you. So when we look at this next word, he says not just worried, but troubled. Look at this. Look at this word for troubled. Here's what you and I find. Also on the display and circled here. By the way, this word is only found one time in the entire Bible. Only here, only applied out of the words and mouth of Jesus to Martha. It means to disturb or troubled. And notice again, it means troubled in mind. We looked at that previously in the context of the passage about Martha. She was distracted, verse 40. With much serving. And now Jesus directly is diagnosing her here in verse 41. She is troubled in her mind. And the thing that I want to bring out in this, the little nuance out of the Greek text, the original manuscript that Luke wrote here, is this. Troubled is written, that action of being troubled is written in what's called passive voice. And what does that mean? That means that Martha was the recipient of the action. She is troubled. She didn't start up the trouble. She allowed it. Please listen to me. She allowed herself to be troubled. It was in an exterior trouble she allowed to worry her. And as he diagnoses Martha, guess who he's also diagnosing here? Point to the person he's also diagnosing. So he's showing you, even in the intricacies of the original Greek text, it didn't translate well into English, so I want to bring this out for you. He's showing you, as he's rebuking Martha, also love, this is love too, he's showing her the problem. Martha, you're worried, you're too anxious, and you're troubled. You're allowing these troubles exterior to be your troubles. And some of us have a problem of saying this one word. It's a two-letter word. It starts with an N and ends with an O. No. Some of us have that problem, and we just have to grow up and learn to say no. Not no to Jesus and not no to what the word says, but no to things that are going to distract you, that will cause you to go from the worshiper to the worrier, to stop being the warrior and being the worrier. And each of us has stuff. Jesus says things, right? So Martha allowed these external things to trouble her. That's what I love about the original language, is because he's showing, it's not like, look, you got to do better next time. You got to lift yourself up. You're such a Mary. She might be younger than you, but look, she's doing a good job. Maybe next time, part two, version two, you could be like that. He's not saying that at all. You know what he's saying? You are being too anxious, too worried, and you're allowing those worries of things to invade you. It's disturbing your peace. And I look at that and go, wow, we could preach for a whole year on that. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit, you're accountable for that which you know. And guess what, Christian? Now you're going to be accountable for this, just like me. Because I study this, I look at this and go, you're right, Lord. I'm allowing it. I'm allowing it. The English translation doesn't carry over. When you look at the original Greek language, it does show that. It's passive. She wasn't the one doing the action. She's the recipient of the action. She allowed it. So Jesus gives us a warning here to not allow these external things to trouble and to worry us to the point that we stop worshiping. It's not, look, be more like Mary. Compare that example. No, you need to rebuke these things, Martha. And don't, by the way, Martha, stop rebuking me. I'm going to rebuke you, is what he might say to her. So each and every one of us knows what these things are. We're going to have to wind down and close in a bit, but I want to share two little passages. You guys already know this one. I'm just going to get right to the core of the verse, Matthew 6. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 6, you can see there, I color-coded the in verse 33. Jesus says, but seek first the what? Kingdom of God and his righteousness. We forget the righteousness part. And his righteousness. And all these things. The context was, oh, I got to worry about the money. I got to do this and that. Oh, I need to clothe myself. I need a house. You know what Jesus calls those? Things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Just like the song we looked at and sung. It's about trusting him. Trust him for today. Trust him for tomorrow. Can you do that? That's what we're, he's not asking you, he's commanding you. That's it. And you could read the whole chapter later on for greater context. And Jesus also said about things here, I'm just trying to keep to our time here, in the parable of the four soils. You could study this, read the whole passage, Mark 4, 1 to 20. There are four soils. Only the fourth one we can be sure is a born again Christian. Only the fourth one produces fruit. Lasting, spiritual, supernatural fruit. This is the disciple that makes other disciples. That's the fourth soil. The third soil, I hate this term, it's an oxymoronic term, worldly Christian. Because Christian means I'm following Christ. You're going to be in the world, but not of the world. Worldly Christian, that's an oxymoronic statement. It's like oil and water, they shouldn't mix. And that's called, we would say, third soil. Verse 19, he says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Very similar, right? So Jesus says this in Mark 4. Maybe he's diagnosing not just a Martha in the passage, but a Martha, so to speak, a person in the room. I know he's been doing that with me. And for me, the context of me might be, Drew, grab your guitar. Drew. And I'm like, I got excuses. I got this and that and the other. Well, look, you brought these people in. And we're praying that you bring people that are hungry for your word. You bring more people in. I got more stuff. And then I start freaking out like a Martha, going crazy, freaking out in the flesh. Anybody else like that? And God won't take my excuses. You know what I need to do? I just need to worship him and remain the worshiper. So I believe this is probably speaking to someone else here. I hope so. So again, your takeaway or application. Can we all stand, please? We're going to close here with a word of prayer. Just keeping it brief here. If this is you, please start making time for the Lord. And stop making excuses. For each and every one of us, this would apply. Once you get saved, he comes to live within you. And he's constantly preaching to you. Even while you're sleeping, he can visit you in your dreams. You wake up, you know that moment when you wake up in the morning, you're like, ah, oh, I got an extra hour. And he can fix my heart. Get up and seek me. I want to talk. I want to meet you in my word. Worship me. Just obey him. And if he's been convicting you, then obey him. He loves you. He's a loving heavenly father. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be that Mary. He wants to protect you and rebuke the Marthas. They're trying to distract you. But don't allow those things to be troubling you, okay, to the point where you're going to allow them to. Remain the worshiper. Ask him for help. The Holy Spirit, third person in the Holy Trinity, he's called the Helper. The Comforter. He wants to help you. But we have to be humble to ask him for help. Amen? So, Father in heaven, we ask for you to please send your Spirit, Lord. Oh, we confess to you our need. We are thirsty, like we looked at in John 7. You said, if anyone thirsts, to come to you and drink. We need to partake of what you want to give, to pour out. And that's the Holy Spirit. We need your Spirit, your empowerment in our lives. We're so thirsty without you in this dead, dry world. God, there's nothing. There's no other God. There's no religion. It's you. We need a relationship with you. You want to spend time with us. You want to pour into our hearts. You want to speak to us. Oh, you want to heal us. Help us, Father, to simply surrender to you. Help us to stop making excuses. I know that we'll make time for whatever we deem important. And you're the one that's most important. So help us to declare you as Lord and to follow you as Lord, even if that means just spending time with you like Mary at your feet, worshiping you. But empower us that we might do so, for we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.